word of prayer. Let's come to Him with our whole hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we look to You now, Lord, and there's no place we would rather be than in the presence of our Lord God and King. And I ask You now, Lord, we just fill this entire place, Lord, with Your holy presence. As we say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, we know Your holy presence will just fill us up. Let it be overflowing of Your goodness, because we love You. And we, as Your children, know, Lord, as our Father God smiles upon us, that brings us such great joy. So, Lord, we put it all into Your hands and say, Lord, have Your way in this time of service. We praise You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you take a look at your notes, if you don't have notes, by the way, you can raise your hand and we'll get you some notes. So, all right, up here. And if you take a look at your notes, the title of my sermon, everyone got your notes? You can see what it says up there. The message, Noah, the faith like Noah's. And I knew it kind of sounded a little corny. I wasn't going to use it, actually, but my brother here, you know, yesterday he heard the message, and Brother Newton said, oh, I like that, Pastor Ben. I go, okay, that's the Holy Spirit anyway. So I think, hey, the Holy Spirit got a sense of humor, too. Noah, their faith like Noah's. Get it? Got it. All right. Well, what we're going to discover today is that truly Noah's faith was undoubtedly unique. And I got to tell you, it's ranked high above any other godly man or woman's great faith that we know of in the Bible. And if you didn't know it already, you know, the current Hollywood version of Noah, you know, it came out like, what, 2 months ago or something like that. But you have to know, it is biblically inaccurate. And a lot of people ask me, should I watch that? And, you know, I didn't watch it, but from what I heard, from a lot of what the Christian movie critics were saying, it says, no, it's nowhere even close to what the Bible describes. And basically, it depicts Noah as a crazed religious fanatic who cares more about the environment than people. And so I don't plan to watch this movie, and I know somebody asked me, so how about getting the DVD? Well, if I tell you don't watch the movie, that also means the DVD. I wouldn't watch that movie, no, because I tell you, it is not accurately as it should be according to what the scriptures tells us. And you know, here's the thing, right? You know, my wife always says, hey, you want to know about a particular character of the Bible? You know the best way to find out more? Read it. And because a lot of times we want to take shortcuts, you know, we say, okay, maybe I'll watch the movie. I'll get the understanding that I want. But sometimes God says, no, just read my word, and my Holy Spirit will show it to you. Amen? I remember in high school, we were given this assignment. We're supposed to read the book of Mice and Men. You guys remember that book? And, you know, I remember one of my friends said, Dan, did you know there's a movie out, you know, that basically tells the whole story from the book? And really, there's a movie? So I got my hands on the movie, and I watched the movie, and I tossed the book on the side. I said, I don't need to read this book now. I just watched the movie. How do you think I did on the test? Very poorly, I tell you, because I thought, hey, if I watch the movie, that's good enough. But you know, my friend, he watched the movie, but he also read the book. And he told him, I said, hey, I did very lousy, you know. I said, I told you to watch the movie, but you got to read the book too, you know. But isn't it just like how we are? Sometimes we want shortcuts, but you know what? When you read the Word of God, God gives you revelation. When you read about people like Noah, Moses, you know, there's a lesson to be learned from their lives. And as we read it, the Holy Spirit gives it to you, what you are to receive from that. So here's the question. What is so special about Noah's faith anyway? Well, you know, the whole story about Noah is found in Genesis 6, but I'm going to read to you what it says here first in Hebrews 11:7. It's follow along your notes. It says here, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world And he received the righteousness that comes by faith. And we have to understand the building of the ark that saved Noah was an accomplishment made possible by faith. Because if Noah did not have this faith to do as God called him to do, he probably wouldn't have done it. There had to be something inside of him that said, you know what, I know this is God. I'm going to do exactly what he tells me. So what exactly were the characteristics of faith that Noah had? Look at number one here. It says, faith enabled Noah to receive God's unseen, right hand blank, unseen plans as an accepted reality. And we know we live in a world that pretty much says, I won't believe it until what?
I see it.
Isn't that true? You remember doubting Thomas? I won't believe that Jesus has risen from the dead unless I see the scars, the hole in his hand. And we realize, as believers, we don't always have to rely on our physical senses. Because we know God, he is spirit, he's everywhere. And as he speaks to us, you're going to experience the holy presence of God. You will experience his guidance. You will experience his directions, his instructions, as you just let your spirit just take in what the Holy Spirit wants to show you. But we must learn to see with the very eyes of God. Because you know what? When we do this, it is what is called the spiritual eyes. Not your physical eyes, it's your spiritual eyes. The very things that God wants you to see, it will be revealed to you. And you will know it is God. Don't ever think that as you go to God, that God won't speak to you. That he won't show you things. No, he will. You must be still and tune in to what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you, because he will. You know, just in the case of the prophet Elisha and his servant, there was a case where their enemies were surrounding them. They were approaching, and the servant started freaking out. Oh, look at this. Oh, we're dead meat, because they were after them. They were after the prophet Elisha. And look what it says in 2 Kings 6, 16 to 18. What does Elisha say to the servant? Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. The prophet servant go, me, you, two. Well. And then it says there, Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, oh Lord, please make them blind. So the Lord struck him with blindness, as Elisha had asked. And we realize sometimes we don't see what the Lord wants us to see because we're so relying on our own physical senses. We're relying on man. When God is saying, no, if you trust in me, I will let you see what exactly I'm doing, God says. Because sometimes when we rely on ourselves, or we rely on people, that's where you're going to miss out on what God has planned for you. We must trust God with our whole hearts, because you can't say something is unreal just because it's unseen. That's how the world operates, the people in the world that don't know God. But we as believers, we got to realize if we don't see it, hey, more power. If we trust that God is doing something, because sometimes we got to realize the most important parts of reality are actually unseen. And we got to trust that God is working his miracle. God is working something wonderful for you and for me. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:18. What does it say there? So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that we cannot see, things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. It's temporal, right? But the things we cannot see will last forever. And you know what? The greatest problem about putting all your focus on your problems is that what you're going to do is you're going to lose sight on what God is presently doing in your life. Because when we're focused on our problems, we're thinking, okay, what do I got to do now? Who shall I go to? Oh, maybe I'll go to my Uncle Joe, or maybe I'll go to my Auntie
Julie, or oh, you know, you keep thinking, oh, maybe I'll go call my friend, maybe I'll call my mom, or maybe I'll call this person. And guess what? You're so focused on how to solve things yourself. You may be thinking, okay, maybe I can do this, maybe I'll do that. Instead of saying, Lord, show me what to do. I need your help. This is something a lot of believers forget to do. When trouble comes, we got to go to God and trust in God and believe in Him with your whole heart, because He will show Himself. He will. He promises it. If you rely on Him, you be still and seek after His voice. You seek after His presence. He will show you exactly what you need to do. And just think about this. What are some of the things that we cannot see with our physical abilities? Think about it. What are some things we cannot see, but we know it's there? We know it's a reality.
Wind.
Good. So air. But do we need air to survive? Yeah. Oxygen, right? Without it, we're going to die. And what about sound waves? Can we see it? But we know it exists, right? Because we hear, right? Just like we praise the Lord. We know sound waves exist because it's traveling through our ear. What about electromagnetic waves? Do they exist? Yeah, well, from our cell phone, right? We know without those electromagnetic waves, we can't use our cell phone. It's dead. So we can't see these things, but we know they're there. What about things in the spiritual sense? What are some things we know exist, but we can't see? Angels, right? We know angels are watching over us, protecting us. The Bible says God encamped His angels around us for those who love Him, those who fear Him.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy yes. Spirit of God. Yeah, we can't see the Holy Spirit, but we know He's real. We experience Him, don't we?
Yes.
What about God's hand at work in your life? A lot of times people say, oh, I don't know if God's doing anything. I'm crying out to Him, but I don't experience any changes. I don't see anything happening. Well, you got to realize, we can't see God's hand at work, but is He doing something? Yes, He is. You must trust and know that God's hand is at work. This is what we call faith. We can't see, but we know it's there. We know in the deepest recesses of our heart and soul, God is doing something. God is allowing things to happen in our lives that we know His best will come as we trust in Him. What about a person's soul that is crying out for a Savior? And you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, before I became a Christian, man, I thought I had everything together. You know, I thought, oh, my life, oh, it's going to get good. But I got to tell you, I was miserable as can be, because I know one thing that I lacked was the very love of God. And not until I found it, not until I realized the reality of how much God loved me, then I was filled. Then I felt like, yes, Lord, You're exactly what I need. And then I just looked at life differently. You know, I was filled with the peace, the love, the joy of God that was so real. And what I want to tell you, just because we cannot see it, you know, doesn't mean it's not real. The very fact that we know, the Bible tells us, when we know in our hearts of heart that God is real, just take a hold of that and say, Lord, I'm expecting great and mighty things from You. And you know, faith allows us to deal with realities that are unseen. Look what it says here in Hebrews 11:1. And this is the New Living Translation version. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So how much confidence do you have that God will bring forth what you asked of Him? If you're suffering, if you're going through hardship, if you're going through a difficult time, whether it be in your own life or a loved one's life, when you ask, do you have the confidence that God will see it through? Because the Bible always tells us it will come to pass. God will allow it to come to pass when you trust in Him, and His best is always what will come forth. As you believe in Him, you must have the confidence to know in your heart of hearts that God will bring it. And you know, Noah, he had the faith to accept as reality a future happening that has never happened before. Because what did God tell Noah? He said, hey, I plan to destroy the entire world and all the inhabitants in it. And he's probably like, what? Has that ever happened before? When he told, no, I'm going to destroy everything in the world because I see that it's evil. Everyone is evil. I'm going to just wipe it all out. Has that ever happened before? No. I mean, God never did that. I mean, where he wiped out everything. And, you know, here's the thing. What I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, so many times I heard people say, you know, man, the situation is hopeless for that person. Because the doctor has never experienced someone being healed of cancer before. So you know what? That person doesn't accept that. Hey, end of the line. But you've got to realize, I've seen where God healed. And you know, we just got to trust God. You know, where we just say, Lord, it's in your hands. God, he will do his part. We just got to believe and know that God, he knows what's best for us. But we've heard many cases where people were healed of various diseases. Or sometimes I would hear, you know, oh man, their marriage is over already. It's just too far gone. And sometimes, you know, we hear about, you know, infidelity in the marriage. And sometimes people will say, you know, statistics show that if it's come to this point, man, forget about it already. This marriage is unsavable. No chance, no hope of restoration. But do you believe that? Or do you believe God is greater? That when you know that God speaks his word into a person's life and that person receives that and say, Lord, I know this is true. Lord, I receive it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to do as you say. I tell you, Johnny and I, we counseled many couples and we've seen how their marriage was restored. Because why? They trust God. They said, we're not just going to read the word, we're going to live it. And as they applied it, guess what? Oh, their marriage is bliss! Because the word of God came alive in their hearts. Amen? Came alive in their lives. And they see the transformation. They know that God has done something. And that's what we have to do. We got to go to the word of God and say, Lord, I'm living it. I'm doing exactly as you say. You gotta realize Noah, he was told by God that a worldwide flood was about to happen and he was about to destroy all of mankind. And he says, only you and your family and a boatload of animals will be saved. What if God told that to you? What would you do? Oh, I'm just gonna save you and a boatload of animals. You can see the kind of faith that Noah had. He says, oh man. I'm going to tell this to my family. Oh, everybody's going to think I'm cuckoo. I'm going to start building a boat? Really? But Noah obeyed, didn't he? And that's where we realize when we trust in God, God will see you through it. You're not alone in this. God will see you through it. Look what it says here in 2 Peter 3. 1 to 7. I'm going to start off with verse 1. You'll come in at verse 3. It says, this is my second letter to you. This is Peter talking. He says, dear friends, and in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. More importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything, what it says there, has remained the same since the world was first created. Everything stayed the same. I don't see any changes. That's what a lot of people say, right? It says, they deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command. And he brought the earth out of the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. I gotta tell you, there's a term for that belief that everything remains the same. It's called uniformitarianism. You ever heard that word? Uniformitarianism. It's the idea of what is happening today is what always has happened and always will happen. And
As a believer, we don't believe this because we know God is the master creator. And He'll do whatever He wants. Amen? If God wanted to make it snow in the Sahara Desert, will it happen?
Yes.
Yes. Just because it never happened before doesn't mean it's never going to happen. But as believer, we know that God, He can do whatever He wants. And as we trust in Him, if you look at your situation and everyone's telling you it's hopeless, and they may tell you, no one ever survived this before. Has anyone ever told you something like that? Oh, I hate to tell you this. It's only going to get worse. Because it's proven in history. It has to get worse. Don't believe that. Hold on to God. And say, Lord, no matter what people say, I trust in You. I have faith to believe, Lord, You're going to see me through the most difficult storms. And the world may be panicking, saying the sky is falling. But Lord, I trust in You. You're going to protect me. And You're going to make sure I will be kept safe. You got to hold on to the promises of God. Don't let go of it. And realize God, He is God. We are not. And the people around us, they're not God either. There's only one God. And we look to Him with all our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Number two here. It says, faith enabled Noah to act quickly upon what God had called him to do. Faith enabled Noah to act quickly. Right? To act quickly upon what God had called him to do. And you know, don't you think it's a tendency for most of us to postpone action on matters of great importance? When we know something is very important, I don't know, I do that sometimes. I know I got to take care of it right away. Sometimes, you know, Johnny says, oh, this is very important. Make sure you take care of it. I say, okay, I will. But what do? Put it on the side. And sometimes I forget. And I realize, yeah, that's what I do. Sometimes I'll postpone it. Sometimes you just don't want to deal with it. You know, sometimes, later. This is something I just don't want to deal with right now. And sometimes the Lord may be saying, no, I want you to deal with it right now. And to act upon it immediately. Because sometimes we put it off. Guess what? We forget. And sometimes we say, oh, it's not that important, but in reality, it is very important. And we could have missed out on something really big. We could have been missing out on something that God wanted to bless us with, but we just put it up. And it never gets done. And you know, when it concerns saving faith, sometimes we got to make a decisive action. And say, Lord, You want me to do it, I'll do it. And get it done. And the next step you take, go, get it done. And then you realize, wow, man, I'm going to be blessed. You just know God's going to let that blessing just come because you did it right away. Look what it says there in James 2, 14 to 26. This is what James says. Is what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also by faith itself, if it does not have works, it is what?
Dead.
You see, you have faith in God. We got to move. We got to show it by our actions. And you know, faith is something that we realize that we can't just think about. We can just say, yeah, I have faith in God. And just as long as I say, I belong to God and God loves me, that's all that really matters. No. We can't just let it be something that we think about. We must act upon it. And we know in Hebrews 11, 7, Noah, he obeyed God and he followed through, didn't he? He did what God asked him to do. I got to tell you about this story about this young boy who went on an errand for his mother. And he just bought a dozen eggs. And as he walked out of the store, he tripped and he dropped the sack. And guess what? The eggs broke and it was like a total mess all over the sidewalk. And the boy, he tried not to cry. But he said, oh man, that's all the money I got. My mom's going to kill me. And, you know, a few people gathered to see if he was okay. And they said, oh, I'm so
so sorry, little boy. Oh, you okay? And they said, pat him on the back. They said, okay, I hope you feel better. And they just, you know, kind of went away. And then in the midst of all this pity, this one man handed the boy a quarter. And then he turned to the group and he said, I care 25 cents worth. How much do the rest of you care? Wow, think about that. Because you know what? James 2:16 points out that, you know what? Words don't really mean much if we have the ability to do more and we don't. You know, sometimes God says, okay, take that next step. Do something about it. Instead of saying, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. Okay, I hope things get better. You know, because sometimes, you know, a friend may call and you know, they're in total distress. So, okay, well, I hope things get better. All right, I got to go. Instead of doing that, why don't you say, you know what? I'll try to be there within the hour. I'm there for you, man. I'm praying for you right now. I'm going to come and just help you out. Take that next step. That's what God would want us to do. Take that next step and say, okay, I will make a difference. I'll help you to find comfort in Jesus. Amen? And that's where God is pleased. Because you got to understand, ultimately, it is God that is working in us. Because if you know the scriptures, and if you're always spending time with the Lord, and you know what you're doing is for God, and it's all in the name of Jesus, guess what? You know, you're going to have this passion. This is continually to do good for the Lord. It's not something you have to think about anymore. When you got the Word of God hidden in your heart, you're going to respond immediately. And you're going to see, oh, just so many miracles happening all around you because you're doing what God wants you to do. You know, Mother Teresa, she made this statement. Just listen to what she says here. She says, when you look at the inner workings of electrical things, you see wires. Until the current passes through them, there will be no light. The wire is you and me. The current is God. We have the power to let that current pass through us, use us, to produce the light of the world, Jesus in us. Or we can refuse to be used and allow darkness to spread. Boy, that's pretty good, yeah, from Mother Teresa. And we realize the current is God. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Because God can call us to do great and mighty works. But if you say, okay, God, you just stay over there. Okay, I'm going to attack this. I'll do what you tell me. But you can just stay in the corner, Lord. And forget it. You ain't going to do nothing. You may think you're doing something good, but you know what? In the end, people know, man. This is not the kind of love that is the kind of extreme love that only God has. We gotta say, Lord, you call me to do it. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, empower me. Lord, give me all I need to do what you want me to do with my whole heart. And God will come through. He's the current. Remember, we're the wires. He's the current. Just like the vine and the branches, right? Jesus is the vine. And we are the branches. And think about that. It's only through God that we can do great and mighty things. Well, number three here, it says, faith caused Noah to endure scoffing. And you got to understand, when we obey God, when we do what God calls us to do, you know, a lot of people, they're going to make a lot of comments. Ever experienced that? When you want to do good, people say, why? What do you want to do that for? Oh, man, nobody doing that. You know, just like when we started the ministry at the park. A lot of our friends and relatives, why are you doing that? I don't understand. You know, that's a waste of time. Don't do that. But we have to listen to God. Amen? We can't let what people tell us, you know, they may scoff at us, but as we hear from the Holy Spirit, we move in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you say, Lord, you want me there? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with passion. Because, you know what, that's the least of our worries, what people say. Especially if they don't know God, you know. You don't have to take heed. And sometimes people that say they know God, right, they say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But they're telling us, no, you don't need to do that. God doesn't want you to do that. You got to question that. You got to say, no, I heard from God. And you say, you know what, can you just pray with me then? Ask that person to pray with you and get that assurance so that he knows that this is truly God's leading for your life. Amen?
Matthew 10:28, it says here, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And we know other human beings can kill us, right? Kill the body. But Jesus is the one talking here. You got to understand that. You see him, right? It says, but rather fear him. Capital H. It's referring to his Father God. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So he's saying, don't worry about what people think of you. They may kill your body, but hey, be very aware that the one that can kill your body and soul is Father God. But does he want to do that? No. It tells us in the scripture that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to know him so that they can receive everlasting life. But you got to realize that very fact that God can do it, but he doesn't want to. But we have to make a choice to receive him. So we don't be concerned about the scoffers, what people say. We listen, tune into the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I listen to what you're telling me and I'm going to do it. You know, during the early days of the Salvation Army, you guys know the founder of the Salvation Army? His name is William Booth. And, you know, he and his associates, they were bitterly attacked, you know, in the press by religious leaders now and government leaders. And imagine, they're wanting to do good. They're giving out Bibles, they're giving out clothes and food and all these things, and they were getting bashed. Can you imagine that? They're doing good for society. And they were being told some very nasty things. And whenever his son's name is Bramwell, he would come to his father and show him, you know, all the newspaper attacks, you know, all these people writing all these negative things about them. You know what William Booth would say to him? He would say, Bramwell, 50 years from now, it will matter very little indeed how these people treated us. It will matter a great deal, though, how we dealt with the work of God. But he's saying, you know what, 50 years from now, he's probably know, hey, I'm not going to be here already. Probably he knows he's going to be with the Lord. But, you know, 50 years from now, you know what, it doesn't matter what people have said. Look where the Salvation Army is today. It's worldwide. And it's doing a lot of good for a lot of people. And imagine, what if he just said, you know what, let's call it quits. People are saying some bad things. My feelings are hurt. Let's stop it already. I quit. Can you imagine if all of us did that? People would say negative things about us and say, okay, I'm calling it quits. I'm throwing in the towel. No, we move forward with God. We don't stop. We listen and say, Lord, I'm going to keep on going strong for you. And just like Noah and the Lord himself, and just like William Booth, we must patiently endure scoffing. People, they're going to say what they're going to say. They will criticize. They will say negative things. We listen only to the voice of God. And we know that he will speak to us. And if we are to receive something from, you know, a person, we just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show us. You know, is this something that we should take in? You know, here's what it says in Hebrews 12:2-3. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Well, think about that for a second, because a lot of times, right, when we get criticized, people say, why you do that, and this and that, right? Just think about what Jesus did for you. Really, remember, he did no wrong. He had so much compassion on people. People were being healed. People were being loved upon. But the very people that he showed love to, they may have been the ones that spat on his face when he carried that cross to Golgotha. Yet he showed extreme love. And was he treated fairly? Absolutely not. But he still loved. He still had faith to say, Lord, whatever your will. And she said, Father, let your will be done. That's where we have faith. We must have this kind of faith. Say, Lord, I'm not going to listen to what people say. It's what you say to me that counts. And I'm going to just continue to listen to you with my whole heart. Amen? So that we will not grow weary and give up. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Keep going strong for the Lord. Number four here. It says, faith enabled Noah to do exactly what God instructed without making any changes. Right in that blank. Exactly. Exactly. Okay, I'm going to read to you now from Genesis 6, which talks about Noah. I'm going to start with verse 11, and you're going to come in with the very last verse in verse 22. It's probably the most important verse from all of this. But let me just read to you, and just listen here. It says in Genesis 6, starting verse 11, it says, "Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone," look at there, it says, "everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, 'I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth.'" And then, look what he says in verse 14, if you have your Bibles. God tells him, "Noah, build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, and leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper." And God says, "Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die. But I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you." Imagine, it will come to them. That's pretty cool, yeah? And you will be kept alive. And it says, "And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals." And look what it says in verse 22. It's in your notes. So Noah did what? Everything exactly as God had commanded him. And the key word there, once again, is exactly. Because you notice, right? God, he was very specific. And we got to realize, when God calls us to do something, he's not just going to leave you hanging. He goes, "Okay, go do this. Okay, go." No, if you listen very carefully, as you study his word, he's going to give you specific instructions. He's going to tell you exactly what you need to do. And here's the thing. When we choose not to follow God's master plan, guess what? We're on our own. Things may not come out right. Just imagine if, you know, Noah says, 450 feet long? Nah, I think 400 feet, good enough. You know, what if he did that, right? I mean, God had a reason to give him specific instructions. And if God tells us exactly what we need to do, just do it exactly the way God tells you. Because, you know, here's the thing. You guys probably know, right? I mentioned in a lot of my sermons that I really enjoy cooking. And sometimes, you know, I'll watch like the Food Network and I'll write down a recipe, you know, as like Bobby Flay, you know, or someone that's really well known, you know, cook something that looks so awesome. So I just write down the recipe and sometimes I'll just grab one of John Lee's cookbooks, right? And I'll follow it to the T. Okay, exactly, okay, half a cup of sugar or whatever, right? And you know, after following the directions exactly as how it was shown, you know, I'll get my measuring cup and, you know, I tell you, I'll create dishes that are sure to please. And sometimes, you know, my kids or Johnny go, "Whoa, this is so good. Wow." You know, just like, you know, flavor just bursting in your mouth, right? Because I followed what the recipe says. But you know how it is, right? You know, it seems like after making the dish like several times, you may get a little lazy, right? And you go, "You know what? I can do better." And you think, oh, you get a little overconfident and maybe a little cocky, right? And you start to eyeball the measurements. Ah, it looks like about 1 tablespoon. Maybe a little bit more. Okay. Ah, a little bit more. A little bit more. And guess what? I start to go on my own. And after it's all done, you know, it could have been the best dish ever. And suddenly, you know, I give it to my family. What is this, Dad? I said, that's the dish you love. No. What is that? Dad, did you try making it on your own? And I go, oh, yeah, I did. And sometimes you realize we got to stay according to the plan, the master plan, the very one that gave you what he wanted you to do. Amen? Because when we go off, hey, it's not going to come out the way God wants it because you thought you could be better. And that is what we call pride. Amen? We don't let pride be mixed in to what God wants for us. We just say, Lord, have it your way. And it's very important for us to do things according to the pattern. Okay, I want you to look what it says here in Hebrews 8:5. It tells us, they, the priests, served in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. It tells us here, for when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning. It says, be sure that you make everything according to what? The pattern I have shown you here on the mountain. You got to understand, when Moses and the people of Israel, you know, God's children, they were on the mountain. They had what are called like portable sanctuaries. You know, the Levites would set them up, sort of like what we do at the park. We have all those tents and chairs and tables and all that. And God was telling Moses, now that they want to create this temple, right? Construct this building. He's saying, be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I've shown you here on the mountain. And I really believe God is telling him, make sure you remember it's not about the building. It's about the people. That's what makes a church. Amen? And sometimes when we're so focused on the building, I mean, you can have a building. We're in the building right now. But let's not put the focus on the building. Let's put the focus on the people. That's what makes the church. And when we lose sight of that, that's where, you know what? A church will not truly experience the fullness of God because they're so focused on what the church building has to offer. It's about the people. Look what it says in Romans 6:17. It says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. Pattern of teaching. And we got to realize, you know, we got to follow what Jesus tells us. And we listen, you know, to elders or pastors or, you know, Bible study leaders' teachings. And you know, we still got to do our part. We still got to open the Bible and listen to the Holy Spirit. Make sure what we're doing is according to the pattern of God's Word. Because we can't stray from that. You start to stray from that, you're in trouble. We got to make sure we're always in line with the Word of God. Because people say, oh, you should do this. Well, you go back to the Bible. Because a lot of people say, oh, you ought to do this because God told you. You know what? Good. You know, if a brother or sister can say, you know what? God told me to tell you this. But still, I always tell people, make sure you hear from God. You are the one that go to God and say, you know what? My brother or sister told me this thing is from you. Lord, will you show it to me? Because I want you to speak right into my soul so I know that I have this confirmation. Don't just receive what people say. Always go back to God. Amen? Always go back to the Holy Spirit. And it says in Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we have to understand that once we start going off track, we start, you know, a lot of times we may be strong in our faith when we first came to know Jesus. You know, last week I talked about the first love that Jesus wants. You know, sometimes we forget that very first time when we said yes to Jesus, that day where we said, Lord, my life belongs to you. And we know how passionately we were in love with God.
And as time goes on, sometimes we forget. And so, sometimes we start to neglect our devotion time. And we got to realize, we got to stay with it. Because it tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world. If you're not in the Word, a lot of times, you know, it could be your non-believing friends that says, oh, come on, Ben, it's okay. Just have a drink. Come on, for old time's sake. I've been in situations like that. And I said, no thanks. You know, we cannot conform to the pattern of this world. Because all it takes is just one drink. And I've been there where, when I was a young Christian, I said, oh, okay. Guess what? One drink becomes another and another and another. And suddenly I'm back in the world. And you got to resist. You got to say, no. I'm only going to choose the way of God. I'm going to choose the things of God that pleases Him. You know, there's this man. His name is Athanasius, and he's the bishop, he was the bishop of Alexandria, and you know, he boldly opposed the teachings of this man. His name is Arius, and Arius, he declared that Christ was not the eternal Son of God. He was teaching all the people that Christ was an inferior being. He was saying that he's not truly equal with God, the Father. And this is not what the Bible teaches us. Philippians 2, it tells us he's equal with the Father. And he's saying that he's a subordinate of God. And so this bishop, his name is Athanasius, he said, no way, that's wrong. And you know, he suffered 5 exiles. He went from country to country. People gave him the boot, said, get out of here. You don't want to accept what this guy says, so we don't want you in our country. 5 exiles. And finally, he was summoned by the emperor. His name is Theodosius. And he demanded him to cease his opposition to Arius. He said, you know what? Just accept what he says already. Why are you giving everybody such a hard time? Right? That's what he's saying. Well, in the pigeon version, of course. But the emperor rebuked him and said to him, this is what he said to him. He says, do you not realize that all the world is against you? You know what Athanasius says? He quickly answered, then I am against all the world. What faith, yeah? Because just because the whole world, it seems like the whole world, sometimes, you know, you think the whole world is against you, but you know what, you're just thinking that. Oh, why is the whole world against me? Really, is the whole world against you? And even if it was, if you know it's something that is an error, it goes against the Word of God, you must stand strong. Amen? And you must say, no, I know what the Holy Spirit showed to me. This is what I receive as truth, and I'm not buckling. Because a lot of times, I tell you, there are Christians, right? There are times when things may get a little hairy, things may get a little tough, get a little stressful. Don't buckle, because a lot of times Christians go, oh, no. People don't like what we do. Oh, yeah, I don't want to cause trouble. I got to go. And that's it. You know, walk away from your faith just like that. God calls us to be strong. In the heat of adversity, we rely on Jesus even more. Amen? And say, Lord, I'm going with you. Father, help me. And what we got to realize is that the more we know Jesus, the more we know the Word of God, the less likelihood of us conforming to the pattern of this world. We cannot conform. If you're not spending time in the Word, you're not getting to know Jesus in the deep, intimate level, yeah, those times will come and you're going to say, oh, okay, I don't want my knees to buckle anymore. So it feels a little uncomfortable, so I have to go. No, we stand strong. We say, Lord, you will keep my knees firmly planted, knowing I stand in the faith of God. Amen. That's what it takes to show that you really have the faith to believe in God for everything. And number 5 here, it says, faith saved Noah from destruction. And we know that as God instructs us, He gives us direction in life, He will always make sure that we'll be kept safe. Because the quality of faith exhibited by Noah is the only kind of faith that saves. He had the kind of faith that says, no matter what people say, I'm standing strong. I'm not buckling. I'm going to keep going for God. And concerning Noah's obedience, this is what Peter wrote about his faith. Look at what he says here in 1 Peter 3, 17 to 21. He says here, remember, it is better to suffer for doing good. If that is what God wants, then to suffer for doing wrong. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Can you imagine? I just want to stop there for a second. Jesus went to the spirits in prison, the ones that disobeyed God. Remember the ones that were destroyed by the flood? Can you imagine? Jesus went to them and started to preach to them. Wow, that's what he says in the word there. And he says, only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. Millions of people in the world, they were all wiped out. And he says, and that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you. Not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know we truly have this kind of saving faith when we are unwilling to bend towards the direction of the world. Because I got to tell you, if you're moving stronger, you're moving quicker, your faith is coming alive and you're moving towards God. I got to tell you, the devil is right there. He's trying to slow you down. He wants to say, don't do that. And he'll bring other people. I got to tell you, a lot of times, you know, the unbelievers and sometimes even the believers that will say things or hurtful things to try to slow you down. And we got to come against that in Jesus' name. We rebuke it. And we say, Father, fill me up. I'm not going to be slowed down by what people say to me. And it should be that sin and evil deeds, I got to tell you, it should come to the point where it sickens your stomach. And it affects your soul to the point where you just feel disgust. So much so that your conscience will have no rest until you get it right with God. I got to tell you, I remember one pastor talking about one of the members of his church, and he came to him, and he says, Pastor, I feel so terrible. I said something that was really bad towards this one person, you know, this other member of the church, and I can't sleep. I'm throwing up. I try to eat. I throw it up. I feel so terrible. I just know I can't get any rest. I just feel just as terrible as can be. You know what the pastor said to him? Good! Because it shows that you love God. You have the Spirit of God in you. Go get it right with your brother right now. Really, the sin and evil deeds sicken you to the point where you say, no more! I want only the presence of God. I only want to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And realize we can't do it without God's power. We need Him to enable us to do what is good in the eyes of God. And that's what we need to do. We got to get in the Word. We got to spend time with God. And that's how He will fill you up. That's where you know God's presence will continually fill you. And this is how we know we have the kind of faith that truly pleases God. It's the kind of faith that God just smiles upon. When you have faith to say, I'm standing with you, God, no matter what. And you got to ask yourself, does our own faith have the characteristics of the faith that saved Noah? And I talked about 5 different things, right, that really showed that he had the kind of faith that pleased God. I got to tell you, I got to share something to you that just happened just recently. It just happened on Friday, actually. You know, I was rushing from my house to get to a prayer meeting here. And, you know, I grabbed my laptop computer, I put it in my computer bag, then I placed it in the back seat of my truck. You know, when I got to the office, you know, I opened the back door of my truck to get my computer. But I was as I was reaching for it, I remember I noticed there was a piece of paper was right by the handle of my computer bag. And when I looked closer, you know what it was? $100 bill. I go, huh? I just put it there. I mean, I know when I grabbed the bag, it wasn't there. And you got to understand, I just put my computer bag inside the bag, and the thing is still unzippered.
And I just put it right there, and there, lo and behold, it was sitting right there, right by the handle of the bag. And my first thought was, hey, where in the world did this come from? For me, Lord? Oh, thanks. But I remember, where did this come from? But, you know, I was kind of in a rush. And so I just took it and I stuffed it on the side of the computer bag. And I remember I went up and we started to praise and worship God. And within several minutes later, a brother, he came rushing in, and he looked very distraught. And he said, Pastor, my bike has been stolen. This is my only mode of transportation. And he was like, oh man, just feeling really down. I said, you know what, let's join in the worship. Let's just give it God praise and give it over to God, because God, he will take care of it. And you just surrender it to him. And so we just started praising God. And you know, at first he still looked kind of shaken up and a little bit downhearted. But when he started to sing to God, I just saw like this thing just lifted off of him. And I can tell the Holy Spirit of God, the peace of God had just entered right into his soul. And I go, oh yeah, praise God. And just then, God started talking to me. And he says, Ben, the money you found, not for you. It's for your brother. Give it to him. Really, God? That's you? And you know, I knew, I can tell you, know there are moments in your life you probably knew without any doubt that, you know, is God speaking to you? That was a moment. It was God. And I didn't hesitate. I said, yes, Lord. I said, yes, I know this is you. And sometimes, you know, I would argue with the Lord. I remember in the past when the Lord would speak to me and said, that's not really you, God. No, you're just joking, right, Lord? But I knew for certainty this was God. It was clear to me this was God. And I said, okay, Lord. You know, after the prayer meeting, I went to my brother and I told him what happened. And I said, the Lord told me this is for you. To get a new bike. And at my time, my brother, he loves God so much. He just burst into tears. And first thing he did, praise God. Hallelujah, it's all you, Lord. And I knew this was God. And I got to tell you, this increases everyone's faith. My faith, his faith. And I got to tell you, this is something, you know, when I give things to people, or, you know, God calls me to share, I don't like to talk about it. But, you know, I realize this is all God. I have to share this, because this is something that will increase your faith too, that God will provide. Because I knew this was God. Because how can you explain? I don't want to, you know, have an explanation of how that $100 bill got there. All I know is, hey, it's there. I believe God put it there. If God says, give it, it's gone. It's not mine. I don't own anything anyway. It's all God's. We don't really own anything. Did you know that? God owns it all. And as we trust in him, we believe in him, God will just continue to bless you. And you know, I got to tell you, I don't always have faith like Noah's. But this time, I'm so glad I did, you know, because I don't want to make like I'm putting myself on a pedestal and say, look what kind of faith I got. But a lot of times, I tell you, I fail too. But I have to tell you, I'm so glad that I did what the Lord told me, because he spoke it and I knew it was his voice. And according to these 5 points that I just discussed with you, I just want to show it to you that as I did it the way God wanted me to do it, you know, this is where God, he would just show himself. This is where God will just let you know that, hey, this is truly him. Because like in the first point, I realized I accepted God's unseen plan to give the money to a brother that was in need. I knew. I accepted this as a reality. I didn't say, oh, nah, this is not real. No, I said, no, this is God. I'm doing it. Number two, I answered and acted quickly. Because I have to tell you, sometimes when we try to rationalize things, oh, is that really you, God? Maybe you didn't really mean that, Lord. Maybe you said to me, maybe I can give him some time in the future. Or, you know, we try to make some kind of excuse. You know, when God says something, you act upon it quickly and say, Lord, it's you. Okay, it's done. Well, number three here, you know, when it concerns the scoffing, I got to tell you, no one really said anything to me, but I got to tell you, the devil was scoffing. Said, really? You're going to do something like that? You're crazy or whatever. I said, devil, get under my feet. I know what my Father God says. I'm doing it. And you guys move with the Holy Spirit. Number four, I did exactly what God told me to do. And he told me, he said, give it to your brother. Tell him that this money is for him. We'll get a new bike. And I also said, hey, God loves you. I did exactly, I didn't say, oh yeah, I'm a good guy. Yeah, no. Imagine if I said something like that, you know? No, I just did exactly what God told me. He said, hey, all the glory goes to God. And number five here, it says, my faith saved destruction for myself. Because, you know, imagine if I didn't do it. Because let's say I did it, and I knew it was the voice of God, but greed overtook what God wanted me to do. I said, no. Imagine what I can buy for $100, you know? Oh, man, I can get some nice clothes or whatever. No, I said, no, it's not for me. Lord said, it's for my brother. I'm giving it to my brother. And I want to conclude by telling you this saying. It's a pretty popular saying. It says that fear can keep us up all night long. Fear, now. But faith makes one fine pillow. Isn't that good? Fear can keep us up all night long. Because if you don't know God, you're trusting in your own ways. You're relying on man. It'll keep you up all night long. You're in a pace. Oh, man, I don't know what to do. Oh, situation not getting better. Oh, and you're just constantly worried. You're thinking about it. But when you have faith in God, know that it's one fine pillow. You're going to rest your head. God is for me. God's going to take care of it. I snored that loud, yeah? But that's what we realize. That when we can give it to God, you're going to have rest. Your soul will have rest. And I want to conclude by showing you this video. It's one of my favorite songs. It's called The Voice of Truth. And realize as you trust in God, you have faith in God, His voice will come. It will speak to you in ways that really touch your heart. That will let you know, hey, I'm here for you, child. And I'm never letting you go. Benson, can you go ahead and play that video?
And he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice. Strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win.
Gives us clear guidance, clear direction on what we need to do when we trust in Him. When you believe in Him, God will make that way. And as you know that God will only bring forth His best in your life, you know, you have nothing to worry. You must have faith to believe in Him. Amen? Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the message spoken today. And we truly know it's Your Word that gives us life. And I ask You now, Lord, if any of us are lacking the kind of faith that You want us to have, the kind of faith that Noah had, Lord, speak to us right now. And truly, as we know that Your voice is what we hear, as we're embracing Your voice every day, as we get into Your Word, as Your Word speaks that voice of truth, we're just going to listen to what You say. We're not going to let what people tell us or what people say to us affect us to the point that we're frozen. That we aren't able to do what You tell us to do. Father, I ask You now, Lord, just to let Your holy prayer, Holy Spirit's presence just fill us up. Let there be an overflowing of Your goodness, Lord, in our lives. Now you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize that's me. That I haven't been really doing as the Lord tells me. That I really haven't been having that kind of faith that believes in God for everything. But now you kind of know in your hearts, after listening to the Word, you realize, man, I'm going to do it God's way. There's no other way but God's way. And as you trust in the ways of God, know that God, He will see you through it. He will never let you down. He will see you through the most difficult of storms. And if truly this is your heart, you're saying, Lord, I want to live for You and live for You fully. I'm not going to let go of what Your plan for my life is. And you're saying, Lord, I surrender all of me unto You. Can you raise your hand right now and say, Lord, I give all of me unto You. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, Lord, that's me. I submit myself to You. Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You've seen all the hands that were raised. Most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, oh, I'm just tired of trying to do things on my own, Lord. I want to have faith, Lord, to believe in You for anything and everything. I trust in You with my whole heart. I just pray right now, Father, as You have seen the hands that have been lifted up, it's the hearts, Lord, that You look at.
I just pray, Lord, as we are sincere about what we have just indicated about the very fact we want to surrender ourselves to you, I pray that you will just fill us up, Lord, overflowing of your goodness, overflowing of your power, Father, as only you can bring it, Lord. As we trust it upon you, Lord, have your way. May your power be displayed in our lives. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with his son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start by praying a simple prayer, but this prayer must come from deep within your heart. And if you are saying, Lord, I'm ready. I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and I want to come with my whole heart surrender to you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you know he's speaking to you right now, just say yes to him. And he will come in and he will take over your life. He will show you according to his word how to live life. And if truly this is your heart, you've never done this before, but you say, this is the day I know the Holy Spirit is touching my heart. I want to say yes to him. Can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I say yes to Jesus Christ with my whole heart, my whole soul. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, that's me, Lord. That's me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Why don't we pray this prayer? Pray it out loud. If this is your first time, I mean it totally from your heart. As we pray together, just go to God and say, yeah, this is what I believe with my whole heart, my whole life, my whole spirit, my entire being, Lord. I express this to you. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again, and he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's give glory to God.